time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. And now your hosts, Dom DeCastro and Nick Kukuru.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, here we are. Another week, another show. Dom DeCastro, Nick Kukuru. We are the team of Nick and Nick here on MSO New Sports. And we are rocking and rolling. Been going, covering the Merrimack Valley for many, many, many months. We can't say years yet, Nick.
Nope, because it wouldn't be accurate.
I was gonna say,
we were just talking, this is the toughest time of the year for this show because we're just about to start. But I mean, look, we're gonna be in the thick of it in a couple weeks, and we're gonna be learning a lot about the area. I think we're gonna have some good insight coming up once we get our feet wet here with these fall teams. I know we know a little bit about football. I'm excited to see the soccer and field hockey landscape in the area too, because I'm sure it's very good as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and this time of year, we're your first week of September here, high school is just getting started, so we don't really know much about what's going on in the Merrimack Valley, but we do rely on our local sports writers, Nick, to tell us what is happening, and Chris Hurley of the Lowell Sun, who we are going to interview, that's next week. Yeah, we're going to interview him next week. We're going to have him on the show to give us his little report, what he did this summer, things he's looking forward to in the fall, but he came out with a story this week on Jeff Traynor, Bill Ricker's own, doing it up for the Archers of the Premier Lacrosse League that plays in the playoffs at Gillette Stadium. Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, are they playing? Yeah, I think so. It's a Tuesday story, and they're playing in the playoffs Saturday. So you can catch Bill Ricker's own, Jeff Traynor. He is a second-year defensive midfielder. Love it. Love the representing the Valley kids.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yep. Premier Lacrosse League. We got a lot of lacrosse talent in this area too. I know I mentioned I was surprised about the tennis and golf, in the North Shore show. I'm surprised the lacrosse is about the best, some of the best in the country around here.
Yeah. And I want to say, Bill Ricker fell in double overtime, Nick. Remember, we talked about that to Long Meadow in lacrosse.
Those games are sudden death. I will say lacrosse overtime is riveting because it's sudden death and it's a high scoring game. So it can end at any second. The double overtime must have been seriously gut wrenching.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So he's doing some great things. But Ricker Lacrosse is obviously in the news and well-deserved high school level. Its alums are doing well. So good job reporting, Chris Hurley. Thank you very much. Nick, we are going to wrap up this opening segment because we want to get to our first guest. It's a fascinating conversation with what I took away from was a no-nonsense AD, Mr. Ron Druin.
Yes.
Those
are the best kinds.
Yep. We interviewed him, and it's coming up after the break, and he just gets right to it and tells you like it is. And one of the things he'll talk about, Nick, is how Tewksbury approaches being the smallest school. I think it's them and Drake at a rate in the same school size playing against these behemoths. Like Lowell and Central Catholic and
behemoths
Lawrence.
Behemoths is a good way to put it. There are some massive schools in NBC.
Yeah, and they still more than hold their own. I mean, they're making state finals. Softball did. Hockey won a state final. Volleyball was in a state semis. So he's going to give us a recap of the last school year and what excites him about this school year right after the break.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
It's time appliances had a personality, yours. Discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection now at Tri-City Sales. A sleek glass finish in platinum gives your appliances a look like nothing you've seen before, while professional cooking features take your meals to the next level. From entertaining to inspiring, bring modern design to your home with a kitchen that's a reflection of you. Make appliances personal with a look that's as smooth as glass. Visit Tri-City Sales Showroom and discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection today. Tri-City Sales in Salem and Ipswich.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, on the Castro and the Cuckoo team of Nick and Nick here, opening up the show with our one and only guest today, and that is Tewksbury AD Ron Druin. What's going on, Ron?
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it very much.
No problem.
Yeah, we're like a half year into our little journey into the Merrimack Valley, and we're finding out that there is a lot of good teams and athletes in this conference. It just never ends.
Great league. You know, diverse league, you got four inner cities, you got six towns, you got one big Catholic school, a lot of good teams in a lot of different sports. You know, we're very fortunate over at Tewksbury High that we have a pretty solid football program, and our volleyball program's good, and our hockey programs are, you know, real strong. Gymnastics, wrestling, you know, we do a lot of good things in a lot of our athletic programs. So I'm proud of what we do over there. And it's a great league, very, very competitive. Some big schools, you know, some schools that excel in a lot of different sports. So tough to find a league that's probably better than us in basketball. We got it kind of going on in our league and a lot of sports.
Yeah, Ron, I see Dom and I on our other show, the North Shore Sports Desk, have kind of labeled Tewksbury High kind of the North Shore killer. I've covered many of Tewksbury games. I can only think of one time where the team I was covering left with a win in the postseason. So, I mean, you guys have it going in a lot of different sports. You guys seem to be in the mix in everything.
Yeah, we're in a good cycle right now. You know, our football team, you know, we got a real strong football coaching staff. They've been together for a long time. Coach Aylward has had his staff together for a long time. And you know, if you look at our league, you look at some of the stronger programs, Tewksbury, Central, Methuen, they have, you know, I believe the key to those three programs is that their coaching staff has been the same for a long time, you know, and there's not a lot of change there. So they can go to practice every day and everybody kind of knows what they're doing, you know. Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of success in hockey. On a personal note, Danvers High took us out of the baseball tournament a bunch of times when I was a baseball coach. So I'm friends with Coach Day, but I would have liked to have got him at least once. You know, he sent me packing many times in the state tournament. So that's a sore spot with me.
Yeah, but then again, the football team up in Tewksbury had its number, had its way with a lot of the Northeastern Conference teams.
Yeah, they did. They have had some success there, as has our hockey program. So, you know, we get it back in other ways, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Sum up the highlights from last school year before we jump in. I know we're like totally focused on 22 and 23, but
yeah, I know you roll through. I'll try to pull this off the top of my head. You roll through the fall. We had a league championship in football. Tough loss in the state tournament. We had a league championship in golf. Our golf team has done some pretty good things. Cross country did well. Our volleyball team was a league champion, and then we were the number one seed and got knocked out in the state semifinal. So our girls volleyball team lost in the state semifinals to Old Rochester 3-2. And Old Rochester went on to win the state championship 3-0 or something like that. So that game was 10-10 in the fifth match, and we ended up losing to Old Rochester. So volleyball was strong. Our soccer teams, neither one made the tournament, but both were kind of playing better at the end of the season than they were at the beginning. And I think that both of those teams are kind of trending in the right direction. Field hockey, we're in a little bit of transition. Got a new coach this year. So our fall was solid. You know, three league championships, a team in the Final Four, you know, good, real good fall, you know, go to the winter. Our wrestling team ran second in the Division III states, lost by half a point, I think, in the all states to Melrose. Our boys hockey team was state champions. Great run with those guys. That was a lot of fun chasing those guys around and playing at the Garden. Our girls hockey team, the Red Rangers, were in a co-op with Methuen High School. We got beaten in the state tournament. Real good year for our girls hockey team. Indoor track, both indoor track teams, you know, had decent years. We got a couple sprinters that are pretty good runners. So, you know, we had a couple kids do some things on an individual level. Gymnastics, we had a real good year, league championship in gymnastics. So, you know, you look back at the winter, both our girls basketball team qualified for the state tournament. Our boys basketball team did not. But again, our boys basketball team was playing a little bit better at the end of the year. So you look back at the winter and you get a league championship in boys hockey. You get a league championship in wrestling, and you get a league championship in, you get a league championship in gymnastics. So we had a, you know, pretty good winter with a state championship. And then you go to the spring and softball loses in the state finals 3-1 to Westfield. Real good year in softball. We were the number two seed in the state tournament, won a league championship, lost in the state finals. Baseball team qualified for the state tournament first time in a while. they were in like a one-run game, kind of got away from them in the sixth. But the baseball team, you know, had a good year. Both outdoor track teams, again, got some guys who do a little bit better individually than the team. We just don't have a ton of depth right now in track. Both tennis teams were okay. You know, our numbers in the boys aren't great, but they compete. The girls, we had one individual who's pretty good, but we couldn't do much. We didn't have enough depth in tennis. And lacrosse, again, younger team. Both of those teams are kind of still developing. Neither one of the girls lacrosse teams made the state boys or girls lacrosse team made the state tournament. So, you know, softball is kind of the highlight of the spring. But, you know, you look at the all-state tournament and we had three teams in the Final Four. You know, our volleyball team makes the Final Four, our hockey team wins the state championship, and our softball team loses in the state final. So, you know, a lot of fun chasing those teams around. You know, I like work. You know, I don't mind working all year, you know, and you look at the fall and, you know, we played up until Thanksgiving, obviously, and you look at the winter, we played to the very last day, and you look at the spring, we played to the very last day. So, busy year for us at Tewksbury High last year. 21-22 was a good year. You know, anytime you kind of hang a lot of banners, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Ron, I wanted to go back to that hockey state title. I thought one of the big highlights for me just, you know, last school year was when they, you know, kind of eased those restrictions for spectators. I thought the crowds were just, you know, especially the kids were just itching to get out there and support their teams. I thought, you know, especially the rinks and the basketball courts were just electric. How was that at Tewksbury? I'm sure the representation was pretty good.
Yeah, our student section was great. One of the higher ups at the MIA said that, you know, we brought the most people to the Garden. And we don't have a huge commute to get there. It's probably 20 minutes from Tewksbury to the Garden. And you can jump right on the train if you want to. So a lot of kids took the train. But, you know, we had pictures in our whole side from net to net was red. You know, it was crazy. On the road to the Garden for hockey, we play at Breakaway Ice in Tewksbury. It seats about 600. And the very first game we played Melrose. And we were the one seed, they were the 32 seed, and the place was full. And the next game we played, we had probably had about 800. And now we're going to draw Silver Lake in the quarterfinals. And I went to my business manager, I said, we got to do something. You know, our kids deserve to play in their rink. and we're going to struggle to seat the number of people that are going to be at the game. Business manager was great, had us go out and rent 300 seats. So we brought in some portable bleachers, kind of put them in different areas of the rink to accommodate more kids and more fans. So I'm very lucky in Tewksbury. We got a very supportive administration, very supportive business department that understands the value of athletics and understands the passion for athletics in our community.
Yeah, that's great to see the sea of red, right, as they call it over there. And
that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Tewksbury Athletic Directors here, Ron Druin. Ron, what about, you know, fall 22 now? Any exciting things in terms of, you know, let's ask two questions. One, any new coaches, or is it just the same crop? And
nope.
number two, participation numbers. You know, how would you stack that to, fall of 21?
Two good questions. New coaches. We have a new coach in field hockey, Jamie Bruno, PE teacher in town, energetic, hard worker, passionate. Got our field hockey numbers up, which are good. We have a new girls soccer coach, Brooke Pacheco, teacher at the high school. Our girls soccer numbers are good. And we have two new cross-country coaches. Frank Husick is a teacher at the high school, and he's a three-sport coach, was a three-sport coach, and needed a little bit of a break. So we need to fill the girls' cross-country position. And we filled the girls' cross-country position with Courtney Graffio, a teacher at the Ryan School, and Peter Fortunato, a longtime coach here at Tewksbury High School, took a job at another school as a teacher. And the school hours wouldn't really allow him to coach for us. So we had to fill the boys' position. And we filled that with Christina Keefe. She was Christina Dick. Just got married about 3 weeks ago. Christina Keefe, real big athletic family in town. Mom's the assistant principal at the high school. Just they do it all in the community, the Dick family. And Christina's doing our boys' cross country. So our boys' cross country numbers are pretty good. They could be better, but we can function with the number we have. Our girls' cross-country numbers aren't really where we need to be. I think we got 8 right now or 9. I put in for an 8th grade waiver. We'll see how that works out. Our field hockey numbers are, roll through the fall, our numbers. Football, we're in the high 80s, low 90s, right around there between all four levels. I think we got about 30 freshmen and about 60 sophomores, juniors, seniors. Boys soccer's got 36 or something, varsity JV. We're not offering three levels in either boys or girls soccer. Girls soccer's in the mid 40s. Field hockey's in the high 30s. Volleyball was through the roof. I mean, I think we cut 26 kids, 28 kids. Our volleyball numbers were in the mid 60s. Swim and dive, we're a co-op with Methuen. We got a good handful of kids over in the pool at Greater Lawrence Tech and a co-op with Methuen. Our soccer numbers are competitive. Our field hockey numbers competitive. Football numbers are good. Volume numbers are through the roof. Our numbers are okay. They're okay. What's trending the wrong way for us is our numbers in our school system. Put it into context. I started teaching phys ed at the Ryan School in 1999, and the Ryan School is 5th and 6th grade only. We had 880 kids at the Ryan School in 1999. Right now, the Ryan School is floating right around 500 on the nose. And Tewksbury High, when I started AD in 2014 as the AD in December of 2014, we were in the low 900s for students at Tewksbury High. We're going to start this year with 748 kids. So we're 100 students less than Dracut, who's the second smallest school in the conference. And then, you kind of jump up to Billerica with their 8th graders is around 1,600. Chelmsford's around 1,600. North Andover's 1,600. Andover's around 2,000. Your city schools are, Haverhill's around 2,000. Methuen's around 2,000. Lawrence around 3,000. Lowell's around 3,500. So those numbers are real big. So we do the best we can with what we have, our kids compete and they're tough and they're great to be around.
Wow, what a difference, Nick, huh? Between the smallest at about 750 and the largest at 3,500.
It's a league that, this is my words. If they were rebuilding the league, it wouldn't be built this way. You wouldn't put four cities with six towns with one private school. It just wouldn't be constructed that way. Right. You know, it is what it is. You know what I mean? So it's our league and let's see what happens. So,
yeah,
it's just real unique the way things have, you know, times have changed and communities have changed and people move in and people move out. And, you know, it is what it is.
Now, that can also work to your advantage a bit, too, especially in this system now where they're grading you on who you play. I mean, you guys are playing a who's who of the largest public schools around. It's got to, you know, obviously it does prepare your teams for the postseason since you have so much success there.
Sure. You know, your soccer's, your rectangle sports, there's a benefit to us, to Tewksbury. Your soccer's, your field hockey's, your lacrosse's, your basketball's. If we can, in boys or girls basketball, if we can get ourselves to about 8 wins, we're going to qualify easy. Easy. You know, you're playing Andover, you're playing Central, you're playing North Andover, you're playing Chelmsford in girls basketball. In boys basketball, forget it. Lawrence, Lowell, Central, Methuen, Andover, you know. So if you can get yourself to around 7 or 8 wins, you'll get in the turn. You'll be in the top 32. Girls soccer, it was weird last year because you looked at the power rankings and field hockey, we were ranked strong. Boys soccer, we were like our league champion in boys soccer was seeded like 26th or 27th. They were our league champion, you know. So our league didn't have a great power ranking for soccer. Field hockey was a little bit better. Well, we got 4 really, really strong field hockey teams in Central, North Andover, Andover, and Chelmsford. So they carry a lot of that power ranking for you because their non-league schedule is strong. Where like basketball, our power ranking as a league was through the roof. You know, it was very, very high. Football was very, very high. Softball, Billerica was number 1. We were number 2 in Division 2, you know. And then there were 4 MVC teams in Division 1 in the top 12, I think something like that, you know. Methuen, Lowell.
Was good, yeah.
Methuen, Lowell, Central, and
it wasn't Chelmsford, was it?
No, but, okay. There were 3 or 4 MVC teams in the top 11 in Division 1. So different sports had, you know, hockey. We were the number 1 seed, and there were some other teams. So it's weird because the power ranking system somewhat exposes some flaws. You know, like the inner city girls struggle. In some sports, they just do, and it showed in the power rankings. You know, if you looked at soccer and field hockey, and you looked at the bottom schools in each division, it was a lot of the cities. You know, and the system's good. It's not perfect. You know, and I'm sure they'll keep working at it and tweaking it and try to get it right.
Well, Ron, my final question for you is: you know, baseball might be your baby. Some might say you're not gonna admit that you show, you know, partiality to them. Of course, you're the athletic director. You treat all sports equally. But I do want to ask you. Nick and I have talked with several people and talked to ourselves about the newish because a couple years now in the pitch count in high school baseball. Is it necessary?
I'm not opposed to it. Is it necessary? If we're gonna have it, then we gotta do a better job of policing it. You know, I happen to be at a state tournament game. I'm one of the liaisons for the state baseball tournament. I actually had the Division I tournament, and I was at a baseball game, and the game's 3-1 in the 6th, 2 guys in the 7th, 2 guys on, 1 out. Kid has a long at bat. 8, 9, 10 pitch at bat. The at bat's over. One team comes out and goes, I got 121. The next team comes out and goes, I got 114. Well, 115, you got to pull the kid.
Yeah.
And so now the home coach kind of looks and pivots his head to me. And I'm like, you're the home team. You got the home book. It's your book. He had 121. The visiting team on the lead had 114, you know, like, and I look at him after the game, I'm like, didn't you check? Didn't you go over there and go, what do you got? And
every inning.
If we're going to have it, then we got to use it and we got to enforce it and we got to have a way to track it, you know? And I'm more concerned, and I said this in the state tournament meeting, I'm more concerned about the kid who throws 38 pitches than the kid who, your starter is going to be your starter and you're going to blow him out. You know, he's not going to come back for 5 days. It's the kid that comes out, does he throw 19 pitches or does he throw 23 pitches? That's a day. You know, does he throw 34 pitches or does he throw 42 pitches? Because at 40, it spins again, you know, so it's another day. So I'm more concerned in the state tournament about those counts than I am the starter, because I feel like the starter is going to be the starter and his name's going to be in the paper and you're going to know what he did. And where if you're not there scouting and counting, it's really kind of the honor system. And I'm not sure that everybody's going to be completely honest if they have to be, you know. And
that's the basic tenet of the honor system.
That's a good point I haven't heard yet and didn't think about with the relief pitchers. Yeah, I agree. People don't abuse it with the starters.
Right.
And I never even thought it. And it would be so easy to with the relievers. And I could see it happening a lot.
Yeah. That's where it can get sticky. Your starter is going to be a starter. You know, once he goes, you know, let's call it into deep into the third, he's gone for, you know, 3 or 4 days, you know, and it's the kid who comes out of the pen to get 4 outs or 5 outs. What's his count?
Yeah.
That's the kid that, you know, is he coming back 2 days later or is he got to wait? So to me, that's, you know, if it's going to be there, it's going to be a rule that we're going to abide by with Federation rules, then we got to figure out a better way to police it.
Yeah. But you know, Ron, at the same time, do we need it? Because, you know, to me, it's like, was there a lot of data about high school arms getting blown out and ruined for life because of abusive coaches who didn't know how to manage? To me, it's like you're vetting these people to lead your high school student athletes. And Ron Druin, when he's interviewing someone for a baseball job, you bet he's going to vet him and know that this guy can manage young arms.
No question.
I mean, so for me, like, I didn't see the data out there that supported a rule like this. I trust the high school baseball coaches to manage the arms. I mean, if you're at that level, if you got approved by a screening committee, school committee, an AD, a principal, I think it's a good person to be in that position.
I'm with you. I hear you, you know, but at the end of the day, the state adopted Federation rules a couple years ago. And again, I'm a member of the basketball committee. We're talking about going to a 35-second shot clock this winter. I mean, we need to play faster. We don't need to play slower. Ooh. We're already at 30 seconds. We need to get up and down the court and play. We don't need to, you know, pound it into the ground and hold it out. And the game's going to be in the high 30s if we're playing with 35-second shot clock. So, like, let's get the kids up and down the court so we're not losing them to prep schools. And they're not, you know what I mean? They're not pulling out of the Merrimack Valley or whatever league because the basketball is not good enough. You know, we have a good basketball league and our kids want to get up and down the court, and a 35-second shot clock does not make that work. You know, let's play quicker. I'd rather see 24 than 35, you know?
Yeah. Seems like you're going to get a lot of chasing. Is that official that's going to happen? The 35-second rule?
That's been put in. Now, I know the basketball committee, we're going to look to see if we can do something with it. But that's a rule that's put in with Federation. So we got to take a look at that. And, you know, do we have the ability to kind of override that rule? So,
yeah, I can see a lot of pass it like Gene Hackman, 4 passes before you shoot in Hoosiers. but I could see a lot of like running around and wasting time. You're right. It will slow the game down. That's not for a good product, you know, for the fans and all that. Well, Ron, you know, we asked a lot of questions. Anything you wanted to add or came in, wanted to share with the community?
Listen, I appreciate what you guys do. You know, back in the day when I was younger, we had a show on WCCM. A guy named Frank Benjamin ran this a similar show on Saturday mornings, had different coaches in. You know, it was great. It was great in the fall. He kind of would highlight the football games and bring in different football coaches in. And in the winter, he'd bring in different basketball coaches in. And it was great to, you know, anything to promote high school athletics and promote our kids and is a positive. So, you know, I wish we could have did more, or I wish I, you know, hope I gave you guys what you need. You know, you guys are out here and taking your own time and you're not getting rich doing it and you're trying to promote high school athletics. So
how do you know? Have you seen our contract? All right. Well, Ron Druin, Tewksbury AD, start of his 8th full season now as the athletic directors with the Redmen. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it on the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk.
Man. I hope we can see you guys at a game.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Ron.
See you guys. All right. Bye.
All right. Let's end there, take a break, and catch up with some more Merrimack Valley Sports Talk.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
It's time appliances had a personality, yours. Discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection now at Tri-City Sales. A sleek glass finish in platinum gives your appliances a look like nothing you've seen before, while professional cooking features take your meals to the next level. From entertaining to inspiring, bring modern design to your home with a kitchen that's a reflection of you. Make appliances personal with a look that's as smooth as glass. Visit Tri-City Sales Showroom and discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection today. Tri-City Sales in Salem and Ipswich.
All right, Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. John McCashford Cooper, this is our Merrimack Valley football report. We're bringing you this to close the show pretty much every single week of the high school football season, giving you previews, recaps, highlights, players, coaches, whatever. All you need to know on Merrimack Valley football, which, Nick, on Friday, September 9th, it is the opener. The opener.
Yes.
That's right. It's all kinds of action going on in the Valley. And one of them is Lincoln Sudbury. That's coming to North Andover. That is Friday, September 9th, 6:30. Lowell going to Bill Ricca. A little MVC matchup there to open
crossover
the season.
Action.
Yes. 7 o'clock. Maynard coming into town to face Chelmsford. Tewksbury against their nemesis, Danvers. Yeah, Tewksbury's going to Danvers to open the
season.
That's
usually a good matchup. Danvers usually gives them hell.
Yeah, they have some postseason history, those two.
They do. I want to say they split a couple games. I know Danvers beat them that year. Was it 15? Danvers won the North section. Was it? I think it was Division III Northeast back then.
Let me go check the brackets, Nick, on the MIA. Say, oh, wait a minute. I get 404 error messages if I do that. Come on, MIA. Keep up the
typical
website. So that's a fun cross show for this little Kelly Media enterprise of ours. Cross show matchup there. Merrimack meets North Shore at 7 o'clock at Danvers High School. Also at 7, Drakett, another one of those small schools in the MVC, hosting Westford Academy. They're not in the MVC. Okay.
I think they're in the Dole County League.
Yeah. Did our future episode with Chris Hurley, did he say they might have been in the MVC?
They might have been. I'm almost positive they are not.
Yes. Another cool North Shore meets Merrimack Valley matchup, Nick. Beverly's heading up to Haverhill at 7 o'clock on Friday night.
Haverhill's been down recently. Beverly had their way with them last year, so we'll see how that goes, see how much, Haverhill's improved.
Yeah. Yet another North Shore Merrimack Valley crossover game. Lynn English going up to Nicholson Stadium in Methuen for a 7 o'clock battle. So that's GBL.
Methuen is always one of those, is always a strong program too.
Andover is going all the way to Shrewsbury to open up its season. So, good matchup for the Golden Warriors to start things off. And oh my goodness, I can't believe we didn't lead with this. Maybe we saved it for the end. A Division I Super Bowl rematch.
Ooh.
Springfield Central is coming to Lawrence to meet Central Catholic.
Excellent. I love it.
That is a Division I Super Bowl from 2021 rematch. Springfield won it. Central, hey, you're like, all right, let's see what we're made of in week one.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wow. You gotta love it. Right off the jump. Right off the jump before you get to that conference schedule. That's gonna be a doozy. That's the game. That's gotta be game of the week one.
Oh my goodness. Well, we're gonna break that down next week in more detail for sure. on a Thursday. So we have to. I mean, on a Thursday, September 8th show. Labor Day will be over by then. Everyone will shake off the summer rust and we will be in the fall. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care what the calendar says. Mm-hmm. Man, I might find a way to sneak out to that one, Nick, Friday night.
Good idea. Great idea.
I'm in Lawrence. I'm fairly close enough, right? 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Right down the road from me. I've been here in Southern New Hampshire. So man, that is a big list. Lots of action going on in the Valley. And man, if you don't go to Lawrence and check out that game, if you're a neutral high school fan, I don't know what you're doing on that night.
Yeah, exactly. If you're free, that's the place to be.
Yep. So Nick, for football on Saturday, I don't have any varsity games, you know, a couple JV games, but nothing varsity wise on the Saturday, September 10th. So Friday night is where the action is on the Valley for sure.
Excellent. Yep. And cool. We're getting there. Less than what, about a week away now.
Yeah. You know,
we're getting close.
Oh, I was just wiping my computer screen. And it's actually your ceiling light, Nick. I thought it was dirt on my screen.
I don't enjoy that ceiling light behind me. It's very distracting. It's an inopportune spot for where I set up my computer.
Yeah. All right. Merrimack Valley Football Report in the books. I'm excited about this segment going forward in the fall. Hey, maybe we'll mix it up. Sometimes we'll have guests inside that Valley Report, or maybe we'll double up and have two guests of football related. Who knows? We'll go wild. All right. Thanks for tuning in to the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. Dominic Castro, Nick Cuckoo signing off another week. First Thursday show is going to be published next Thursday, September 8th. So look out for that. Usually we go Fridays, but moving to Thursday for definitely the fall season. So stay with us here, msonewsports.com. Gone for another week. Talk to you next week, guys.